St. Peter had had enough. He was tired of people not knowing what Easter was, and he seen three guys walking up to him. He said, "That's it?" He said, "I'm going to ask you to tell me what Easter is, and that'll tell you whether or not you're coming in these gates." And he looked at the first man, and he said, "What's Easter?" And the man said, "Well, that's simple. That's when you get together with your family, and you have a big turkey, and you remember the pilgrims." And St. Peter said, "No!" He said to the second one, "What's Easter?" He said, "Oh, I know this question." He said, "We go out and get a big tree, and we put decorations on it. And we get presents and put them underneath the tree." And St. Peter said, "No!" Come to the third man. The third man was smiling. He said, "What's Easter?" He said, "I'll tell you what it is." He said, "My Savior Jesus was taken on the night in Gethsemane. He was betrayed by Judas Iscariot. He was taken before the chief priests and Pharisees. He was condemned. He was taken to the Romans. He was condemned. He was found not guilty. And yet they took my precious Savior and they nailed him to a cross and they crucified him and he died. And on the third day, Easter, he rose, and St. Peter, smiling, reached back to throw the gates of heaven open, and the man continued on, and he said, every year, Jesus comes out of his tomb, and if he sees his shadow, we'll have six more weeks of winter." I'm still laughing at that one. Good morning. I think I said, "Good morning."
Good morning.
Now, I act more like you got to put up with me today because I am wound up. And no, I haven't had any chocolate yet. I'm just naturally getting at it this morning. I want to thank you for your prayers and for your concerns and for your asking. Although, I don't know if I said the wrong name or not, but I got two and you mixed them up. But yes, it was Wally that is suffering from tonsillitis. And so keep that little feller in your prayers. Him not feeling good. And it's killing me to see it. And I'm sad to say, because of tonsillitis, I'm going to have to eat all this candy. And also, I was blessed and kept over. I got to tell you what happened to me Tuesday. Yeah, Tuesday night. Excuse me. I have been yammering on about needing more snow. Yeah, I want to see us get one more snowstorm. Tuesday, I left to go up the road to New York to pick up a load. And it was raining all the way up the road. And it was warm. And I got up there. And it takes about 4 hours to get loaded. And I sat up there and got loaded and headed out of Middletown, New York. I got up about Mount Pocono and I said, "Ha, it snowed. Look, there was a little dusting on the ground." I said, "Man, boop, boop, boop. Wendy ain't never going to believe this. Hey, it snowed a little bit." And I was laughing to myself. And I hit Scranton, Pennsylvania, headed down 81. And it was snowing. There was 8 inches on the ground. And by the time I got 15 miles down the road to Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania closed 81. While I sat in the middle of a hill with an 80,000-pound tractor trailer for an hour and a half, watching it snow. One of these days, I'm going to learn to keep my mouth shut. And it was still pretty. I got down the bottom of all those mountains down there around Harrisburg. It was raining again like nothing had ever happened. And the next morning, I got up and was telling people I got stuck on the highway up there in a snowstorm. And they all looked at me and they said, "What?" If you have an unspoken request, if you need to communicate with God quietly, just hands up and down as we come before. Let us prepare our hearts for today. Heavenly Father, hear us. As we are silent, listening to you talk to us. What a glorious day this is. What a magical moment. A moment of true amazement that we will be preparing to look upon and hear in the message. But first we come to you with hearts full of gladness, hearts full of everything. We have trials and tribulations which are to be expected. We're not in heaven yet. And so we ask you for strength to face each and every one of them. For our hearts to be extended to our family, to our neighbors, to do uplifting work where they need it. Whether it be our neighbor who is sick with no family, our grandchildren, great-grandchildren, members of the family that need us, Father. And I'm not just talking about the relatives. I'm talking about members of the family. The brothers and sisters seated here, let voices be silently heard. Let prayers go forward, lifting up those who are in need. And for thanks. Oh boy, are we thankful, Father. Oh, do we look around us at this day? Do we know what happened? Yes, we do. We are fully well aware. And we see the glory today in ways that you have given us that we could never thank you enough for. Look out at your hands and the painting they have done. Joy in little children stepping forward to help. Joy in volunteers stepping forward. Joy in being able to go back to church after being kept away for so long here in the family, Father. Here, being able to be surrounded by that love and that grace. Thank you. There are those today who don't know you. Oh, they know who you are. They know who you, that you exist. They don't know Jesus, your Son. Lead them, Father. Let our prayers be heard for those that are unsaved, but we still love them. That unconditional, overwhelming love that you have, let our prayers help guide them along. Lead them to you. Watch over those who are not with church family or family in general today due to traveling or sickness or things along those lines, or if they're out of the country, and those serving in protective roles. And I'm not just talking about the military. I'm talking about those in hospitals, nurses and doctors overseeing. And yes, our military. And yes, those who protect us right here at home, Father. Lead, guide, direct. And please reinsert yourself in the leadership of this country. Get us back to focusing on you and your directive and not our own selfish needs. We pray all these things in Jesus' precious name and through Him who has taught us how to pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. John chapter 20. Continuing on my theme, which started last Sunday. I've always said I don't do themes because I don't really know how to do theme sermons. And yet I started last Sunday afternoon with Love Feast in remembrance. And then Good Friday sermon was remember. And we're staying in John's chapter in his book because he tells his memories. John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. The bestest news. And I was waiting to see if Pat looked up at me, but I got one of them back there. When I said I was going to use that word, Diane said, "That ain't no word." I said, "It is in my dictionary." The bestest news. We're seeing the bestest news. We're remembering what happened today. We're seeing it through the disciple that lived it. John, not killed, not martyred, lived until old age, wrote these things down, laid them out for memory, for remembrance. Starting in the first verse. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put Him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb, and if you're wondering, the other disciple is John. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself and separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head, the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They must have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. She did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them the things that he had said to her. May God bless this passage to our hearts today, Easter Sunday. He is risen. I'll give you more chances later on. Let us join our hearts together in prayer and receive this message. Father, open us up. Let us focus today on this time, this message, not what we're going to do later on. That stuff will take care of itself. Let us be here with you in your presence right now with your Son and the Holy Spirit just filling us up. Wind us up. Share this message with us. Let it come from you. Let it be heard strongly. Let us set aside our labor and know you through your word, through your message better. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. The bestest news. I love that word. I'm sure it's in the dictionary. I'm sure it is because I probably wrote it in there. Good. Better. Best. Bestest. What is good? I'll tell you what good is. Good is what John Lane did for us. Y'all don't know that name. John Lane invented the chilled steel plow. That was good. It kept dirt from sticking to the plow. Notice I said the name John Lane. I'm getting an awful lot of funny looks. Stay with me. He invented the steel chilled plow to keep black dirt from sticking to it. Anybody ever farmed in black dirt? Probably nobody around here, but I've been out there and seen it done, and I'm telling you, that's sticky stuff. Good that he invented that. Better, a man named John Deere came along and took that plow, curved it, and made it self-cleaning. Good. Better. John Deere didn't stop there. He went on ahead and said, "I'm going to manufacture this plow so everybody has one." He set up manufacturing plants and began to distribute them everywhere. And the chilled steel plow is and always will be the way to plow with. Best. Right? We got it, right? Good. Got a good clean plow. We got better. Made better to clean itself. And best. You can get it anywhere you want. What would be bestest? 10 of them things in the ground with a 200 horsepower tractor. Yeah. Bestest. Bestest. I'm surrounded by two boys who taught me that word. And if they said it, good enough for me. I'm surrounded by three boys, it seems like, all the time anymore. And everything around them is big news. Big news and the things I've never heard of. Dad, you got to come out of your teeth. You got to see this bug crawling on the side of the house. Of course, you know me. As we all well know, I'm a kid too. Out the door I go, I want to see the bug, and I'm usually right there with them. "It's a stink bug. Look at that thing." And we catch it. That's big news. a bird's egg. They came in the house. We have 20, I don't even know how many we've got, 23, 25 chickens. I don't know. They get eggs all the time, but yet they found a bird's egg somewhere and they come running to me. Dad, big news, great. Here I see this bird's egg. Okay, here we go again. And I can't run like that anymore. Mikey spent the night. He spends the night a lot. He wasn't supposed to spend last night, but he got told he could spend last night. They ambushed me. Daddy, it's great news. It's not good now. It's great news, Daddy. It's great news. Mikey's getting to spend the night with us on Easter Sunday. He's going to be here with us in the morning. And it's great news. And they were all wound up. Or the time they brought in, I'm down in the shop working. It had been raining. The ground was wet. I'm into whatever I'm doing. They walk in with a bucket. This is big news, Daddy. Look at all the worms we found. Well, that's big news to me. I said, did you ever taste one? And the response I got me sideways. Well, we were thinking about it, Daddy, but we wanted to ask you first. That's big news. And one time they came running to me when they heard me start up my grandfather's tractor and pull it out of the shed. My grandfather's tractor was a big deal to me because it was the first tractor I ever drove, and he still has it, and I was 5 years old, and that thing falls under my control, and every now and then I fire that old John Deere up and bring it out, and they come running down there, and I said, I'm going to take you all riding. And that to them was the bestest news they had ever heard, and I know it because they told me, Daddy, that's the bestest news ever. We get to drive Pat. So you see how exciting it is when you get good news? Amen. He is risen. Do I have to come down here and shake you all? When you hear me say that for the rest of this service, you better be saying, He is risen indeed. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Now you're with me. See, I had to behave myself on Friday, and I'm not good at that. They saw their favorite cartoon characters at the mall. That was the bestest news. Christmas morning, that was the bestest news with what all they got. Easter egg hunts, that's always the bestest news. And I got to thinking, the bestest news happened today. John recorded it for us. He remembered. I told everybody that was here on Friday night, I live in your memories. I live for it. When all y'all want to sit down, Marvin was telling me a memory today. People tell me, even Marge was telling me a memory today about when you got a sore throat, you mix horseradish and honey. Sleep it off a spoon. I'm going to try it. Your memories keep you fresh in things that happened that was important to you. And when you take the time to tell me about them, I want to hear because I want to live through them with you. I love memories. I've grown up around the greatest storytelling memory men that there are on the face of this planet. Sawmill men, thrasher men. I grew up in that breed of man. They use a lot of words I'll never be able to use up here, but they told me stories that have locked me into their hearts. And John is laying out this memory. Daddy, I have the bestest news. Christ died on Friday. He rose again today. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
We're really going to have to work on that. And He is here. He is right here today. He is here in the Holy Spirit. He is here in the God that we love. He is here in the Jesus that we know. He rose today. How can you not get wound up and get amazed? I'm telling you, it's a hard day for me. Because I'm going to be fired up all day long till right after supper. So to know the great news, the first thing we need to do is look at the events that was happening. First of all, Jesus was crucified, and we see that in Mark chapter 15 recorded very clearly. Excuse me. In the 22nd verse, you can keep up with me or not, but it says right here, they brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. They offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it, and they crucified him, dividing up his clothes. They cast lots to see what each would get. Crucified him. Nailed him to a cross. I ain't going into that description today. We had that Friday. It's painful. It's hard. It's part of it. Nailed to the cross. Got your attention. That's the first thing that had to happen in order to get news. You know, in order to get news, something has to happen. You know, down in the shop one day, I'm down there working. And I think it was before the boys were born. I had a favorite hat. My favorite hat. I wore a hat everywhere. And I was in the middle of welding something up, and I had laid the hat on the table. And I had my shield pulled down. I was welding along. And I flipped my hood up, and I could smell smoke. And I turned around, and my hat was gone. Spark had flipped onto it and burned it up. That was big news to me, my favorite hat. I told everybody for miles around, I burnt my favorite hat up. In order for something to happen, in order for something to be news, something has to happen. And the first thing that happened was Jesus was crucified. Amen. Sad, but he was. And then he died. Luke records it very, very serenely. I don't think it was. In the 23rd chapter, in the 44th verse, we read Jesus' death. It says, it was about the sixth hour, and darkness came on the whole land until the ninth hour, for the sun stopped shining. Stop right there. Anybody here, when was the last eclipse we had? You remember those eclipses where the whole sky got dark? That wasn't even an eclipse. It says here, his recording was, the sun stopped shining. Dark! Because Jesus was dying for you. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And when he had said this, he breathed his last. Died. That's the number two thing that had to happen to get to the bestest news. I'm sorry, but crucifixion was good. It was good for us. Because even though we're the ones that caused it, we're the ones that benefit from it. Good. Best that he died. I know that's a hard one to take. Follow along with me. It's best that he died because he's about to show us something that we have never seen before. He is about to go to hell and duke it out. He's going to show us a victory yet to come. He's going to give us news. He's going to give us this day. He's going to give us the reason, brothers and sisters, that we worship on Sunday morning. Then they laid him in a tomb. I like Matthew's recording of it. In the 27th verse, and I got to read this morning, 27th chapter, and I got to read this morning, and I'll tell you what I told everybody. This little series of verses always makes me giggle inside. Because Pilate thought he had power over Jesus even after death. Read along with me. Or listen. Because I'm moving a little fast. Matthew chapter 27, starting in the 57th verse. As evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who had himself become a disciple of Jesus. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it be given to him. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in clean linen cloth, and placed it in his own new tomb that he had cut out of the rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting opposite the tomb. The next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. Sir, they said, we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, after 3 days, I will rise again. So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead. The last deception will be worse than the first. Take a guard, Pilate answered. Go and make the tomb as secure as you know how. So they went and they made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and placing a guard. You know what the seal was? That was a bunch of wax with a ring pressed in it. That was his seal and two guards. I always laugh, I'm sorry. Like he could do anything. Like he could stop what was coming. Three things. Crucifixion, death, laid in the tomb. Good, better, best that he was laid in a tomb so that we could see what was coming. And then, the bestest news. Let's go back to John chapter 20. Let's get back in there. All this has been taken in place. All this has been given just to save you and me. All of this just to give us the best news. Where we read in that 18th verse, what does Mary do? Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. He is risen. Can you just imagine? Can you just imagine? I love to live in my imagination. As I'm often asked by my wife, who I thought loved me, when I'm on one of my tangents and wound up, she brings me back to earth by looking at me and going, "Exactly what color is the sky in your world?" I got an imagination. I love to imagine things. Don't get me in a museum. If you ever want to go somewhere with me and you think you're going to take me to a museum and you think you're going to walk through that museum in 5 minutes, if there's anything in there that interests me, pack a lunch. Because I'll forget you're there. I want to see. I want to touch. I want to know. I want to feel. I love to imagine things. Pastor Larry Rickett today at Sunrise said, this first Easter was the most emotional weekend, and he was right. Can you imagine what it was like? You're following Jesus. He gets killed. He's dead. What emotions are you going through? And it should have been. They thought they had lost him. And you know what? Christians, we are losing him a little bit. When we come forward on Easter Sunday thinking that all this is the fancy day because I put on a coat, you put on your Sunday best, you're missing it. You should be as wound up as I am when you think about it. He walked out of a grave. Walked out. Wish I could have been there. I wish I could have been there to see him, and I know he probably didn't do it like this, but I wish I could have been there to see him just go push the stone back and go, "Hey, fellas, I'm coming out now." I'm surprised they stayed there, because I can guarantee you I wouldn't. He walked out of a grave for the bestest news that his belief, that our belief in him would show everlasting life. But we need to take this message back. That's my little bit of a lesson today. We need to be stronger in our faith and more forward in it. That we're not afraid to say, "Yep, yep." And we're getting too used to this thing. I found this neat little story here today about Lord Hamilton. It's in a book, and I have to read this because Lord Hamilton, David Irvine wrote this story in the upper room. I don't know how long ago it was, but he wrote this story about Lord Hamilton, wrote that at 11:30 p.m. on the night before Easter, the great church of St. Isaac's in Moscow was crowded with worshipers, packed to the doors. The only light in the church came from candles burning on the symbolic coffin of Christ, around which the priests were chanting funeral service. Just before midnight, the priest discovered that the coffin was empty. After a search of the building, the Metropolitan proclaimed, "Exactly at midnight, Christ is risen." Immediately, swift as a flash, tens of thousands of candles are lit around the church, and the choir bursts into the Easter anthem, "Up from the grave he arose." Nothing, wrote Lord Hamilton, is more dramatic, more magnificently impressive than this instantaneous change from intense sadness to blazing light, from the plaintive dirges of a funeral service to the jubilant Easter anthem, from the darkness of the tomb to the light of the resurrection. If you don't see it that way, let me reinvest you in the memory of what today is. Go back again to John. We're going to reread a few of these verses again. which has been my theme, as I said this weekend, remembering that this day Jesus stepped out of a grave. He walked out. Our love feast was to remember. Our Good Friday was to remember. And guess what? I'm doing the same old thing again. I love internet. I don't preach just preach about the same. Now, somebody asked my dad one time, what are you going to preach about this Sunday? And my dad, quick as a whistle, I'll never forget it, looked right at him and said, no, same thing I preach about every Sunday, just from a different angle. Love that statement. I was talking about Easter service today on Friday while I was getting tires put on my truck. And the boy behind the counter, a young man just took over the managership of the tire store I get down there here in Hagerstown. Now, mind you, I'm in my overalls. Haven't shaved yet. He looks at me across the counter and he goes, you're a preacher? And I was like, here it comes. Now, this is going to get me again. I said, yes, and I know what you're thinking. And before I could finish up the words, he said, I think that's great. What? I think it's great. You know, somebody that rooted in their faith, not afraid to talk about it. I said, what church do you go to? He goes, none. He said, but I drive by your church. And after me and my wife get settled up here, I think we need to come see you. Yes, you do. We need to keep it fresh in our hearts so we can walk out in a crowd like that and just start talking about it. And so we don't forget about it. Go back in John and let's look at Mary Magdalene again. We all know what's happened. We'll start down there in the 13th verse. After she has seen the angels in white that were glowing, they asked her, woman, why are you crying? She is crying. Not only has she witnessed her Lord dying, not only has she witnessed that man that saved her very life be hung on a cross, now she has to endure the fact that his body is gone. They have taken my Lord away, she said. I don't know where they put him. At this point, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. If you don't get chills reading the next couple of verses, I'll read them for you so you do. Woman, he said, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for? Thinking he was the gardener, she said, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him. Jesus said to her, Mary. It chokes me up every time to think about in that instance, from darkness to light, from gloom to absolute knowledge, from death to victory, in one word, Mary. He is risen. She turned to him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni. And Jesus said, don't hold on to me, for I have not returned. Go instead to my brothers and tell them I am returning to my Father, your Father, to my God and your God. Good, he died on a cross. Better, he had to go. Best, they laid him in a tomb. Bestus, he rose up. Didn't think I was going to be able to tie that one up, did you? I'm having fun. We need to keep it fresh. We need to always keep it in our memory. And I'm telling you, I'm going to tell the story, so set your tear ducts ready to go. I warned you on Tuesday night. I love this story. The story of little Philip, the little boy with Down syndrome that attended third grade Sunday school class with 8-year-old boys and girls. And typical of that age, they did not accept him. They made fun of him and they learned over time, but they kept him at a distance. And so the Sunday after Easter, the teacher who had worked so hard to garner care for Philip brought in a bunch of eggs from Lake's Pantyhose. Remember them big eggs? Did you ever take them things and fill them with soap and water and throw them at your cousin? Never mind. And the big Lake's eggs. Brought them in on a Sunday morning. And each receiving one said that the children were to go outside on that lovely spring day and find a symbol of new life, put it in the egg-like container, bring it back, and they would be open, and all would be surprised. I would love to see about 27, 8-year-olds loose on a Sunday morning. Sunday school teachers, that's fun, ain't it? That's herding cats. And so they did what they did, and they ran wild around the church, and they returned, and the eggs were laid on the table, and surrounded by the children, the teacher started opening them. And in one, she found a blade of grass. In one, she opened it up, she found a butterfly. In one, a dandelion or a little daffodil. In one, a worm. And one was empty. All the kids got mad. Oh, teacher, somebody didn't do what they're supposed to. They didn't listen to what the story was. They didn't do anything. They cheated. They cheated. They cheated. And little Philip jumped up and said, "No, I didn't cheat. That's my egg. Teacher, that shows that the tomb was empty. My egg is empty just like Jesus' tomb." Silence. After that, little Philip was absolutely a part of that class. Loved and cared on. Wasn't too long after that, because of his situation, he got an infection that most children would bounce back from and died. And at his funeral, the whole Sunday school class, one by one, placed empty eggs on his coffin. Jesus walked out, saved them, and used little Philip to teach them the bestest news. The bestest news this day. We need not be wound tight today about everything else that's going on, unless you've already had chocolate this morning. It's not about chocolate candy or bunnies or eggs. And I think about one Sunday school who asked her children, she said, "I want you to write down what Easter means to you." And one little 5-year-old girl wrote on the paper, "It means we'll be having egg salad sandwiches for the next 2 weeks." Don't get me wrong, I'm in favor of that stuff. And I am sure that our house this morning looked like chocolate slaughter. Yeah, I'm telling you, I'm afraid to go home. I'm afraid of what we'll find if the dog found it. She's in the kennel. But the news today is that our Savior died and rose for us again. Revelations 1, chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. "When I saw him," John was writing this, "when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed me under his right hand and said, 'Don't be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever. I hold the keys to death and Hades.'" He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
The bestest news. The victory has been secured. Imagine what it'll be like that day. Charles Hodge wrote of Laura Bridgman, and maybe you all don't know it, but 50 years before Helen Keller, she was a deaf, blind, mute. She is the reason that Helen Keller got to learn the way she did. He wrote of her after getting to know her, after getting to know of Dr. Howe, the person that took such interest in her, that taught her God and Jesus and love. He wrote these words, "I can imagine on the resurrection morning when God will touch her eyes and say, 'Daughter, see.' And she will open her eyes and see the face of her beloved. And he will touch her ears and say, 'Daughter, hear.' And she will hear the voice of the angel choir like many waters. And he will touch her lips. And she will sing the song of Moses and the Lamb, sweeter than them all. Our future will be like that. That is what glorified means. Every part of our being touched with his power and filled with his glory and his righteousness. That, brothers and sisters, is the bestest news." Amen?
Amen.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Will you pray with me? He walked out. He took away everything. When he walked out, he took away a power and a grip that could not be broken until his life was shed for us. Challenge us, each and every one here today, Father, that we should never forget, that we should never let go of, that we should never, even in our moments, ever let go of the fact that Jesus rose on this day, that he gave us news to share, that he gave us something to take forward, that he gave us what if all of it, he gave it to us, to take to anyone who would simply listen. Father, freshen our hearts. Let us not forget this. As we go from here today, let us be lifted up, knowing that our Heavenly Father, that you gave us Jesus Christ, who died and saved us when we never deserved it. Thank you for that bestest news. Through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Took the sting away. A little boy and his father were driving down the road and a bumblebee flew in the car. Little boy is deathly allergic to bee stings and he started to get excited and the father saw it and reached out and grabbed that bumblebee. Held the bumblebee in his hand for a few seconds and then let go. The boy started to get excited when he saw the bee flying around, but the father said, "Don't worry about it, son. Look here in my hand. Here's the stinger. I took the sting out of it for you. Today, let me take the sting out of whatever's troubling you." When we sing this last hymn, come forward. Let us pray for you. But to you, my brothers and sisters, I am glad to know you in Jesus Christ. That is the bestest news.
Please stand and turn to page 358, because he lives.
Because he lives, we have a future, Father.
As we leave from here, let our hearts be strengthened. Let us go from here joyful and triumphant, knowing that He is risen away from death to give us everlasting life. In the days to come, in the minutes to come, let us refocus our hearts in that direction. I pray for a blessing now upon each and every one gathered here. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you.